Blog Talk Radio. Empowered Love with author, self-mastery coach, and relationship expert, Melanie Tanya Evans. Take back your power, heal your soul, and set yourself free. Free through Empowered Love. And now your host of Empowered Love, Melanie Tanya Evans.
Hi, I'm Mel, and welcome to Empowered Love Radio. And this week's article and radio show is called Narcissistic Abuse, Personal Responsibility versus Victim Blaming. And this is a really important question. Is the Thriver model of taking 100% personal radical responsibility one of victim blaming? Occasionally, people tell us it is. And there are times when people adamantly declare that it is. I felt that it was time to write an article about this and deeply look into it, and also to invite a discussion on the blog after this is written. My dear friend Simone Waddell and myself had a fascinating discussion about this in Japan, exactly about this topic regarding people who feel it is wrong for people who've suffered harm at the hands of narcissists to focus on changing and healing themselves. Such people believe this healing orientation blames victims and doesn't focus on holding abusers accountable. If only the trying to force abusers to be accountable did work. When we look around at the state of our world, the effects of abuse abused, and blame and punishment, we can see it hasn't. All too often victims, despite all efforts to hold abusers accountable, stay wronged and stuck in ongoing trauma. Why doesn't it work? Throughout this radio show, my desire is to share with you exactly the reasons why and how victims can and do find their way to relief and release for their trauma. So let's have a look at this section. Is our healing reliant on abuser accountability? Do I believe trying to hold abusers accountable will heal us? No, I don't. And I previously wrote an entire article about this, which is trying to make the narcissist accountable is keeping you hooked. And the link to that is on the blog. In fact, I believe that the more you try to blame an abuser and hold them accountable, the less likely you are to get accountability and heal from the abuse. My beliefs even go as far to include our righteousness about us being right and a victim and them being wrong and a perpetrator is what holds us in the indefinite pain. And I created a video on YouTube all about righteousness and what it creates. And the link to that is on the blog as well. The interesting thing is, even in the rare times when people do get justice, if the justice was a condition necessary in order for that individual to get on with their life, the pain often still lingers. The abuser being held accountable was not the magic healing pill they hoped it might be. The reason why people who have had justice can still suffer the horrible effects of the abuse that happened to them is because they did not address the healing of the trauma directly in their body. They believed that how they would feel and the state of their future life was determined by what did or didn't happen to someone else. Sadly, nothing could be further from the truth. The result of ongoing trauma is universes away from the people who did deal with the trauma in their body, the people who took personal responsibility for it, and then received justice. The justice in this case was the cherry on the top, an addition to their already up-leveled, relieved and released self that was unconditional in regard to what did or did not happen to the narcissist. In short, up-level people do not need physical justice in order to heal. They have already generated it themselves within their own being. The incredibly interesting thing is this. Within this community, I've seen umpteen cases of justice happen for up-level people as opposed to the people who feel they need justice and simply never get it. I guess For those of you who already know my work, it's no surprise that I'm very pro personal responsibility. For those of you who don't know my work, you may initially find my viewpoints foreign, confronting, and even highly triggering, because they may push against everything that you've been taught to believe. Yet it is my deepest and humblest mission to present the truths as I know them and have experienced them personally. Truths that come from the foundation of personal responsibility. How could I not be orientated this way when this was the one thing that saved my life? This is what I know as a result of living my previous life in the victim orientation. Every moment we spend reliant on the outcome of trying to force and get reform and atonement from unconscious people who have no inclination to reform and atone their ways is another moment we're denying ourselves our own healing, breakthrough, and recovery from abuse. A recovery which must be independent of whatever the abuser does or does not choose to do in order for it to be real and empowered. In fact, recovery has to be self-generated and non-reliant, because the absolute truth is this. We have no power over what anyone other than ourselves does or doesn't choose for their own lives, let alone ours. And as soon as we make the state of our self-love, self-approval, security, and survival dependent on what another person is or isn't granting us, we will hold them responsible for our life and dangerously forgo that responsibility to ourselves. This is a definition of personal powerlessness, which leads us to be susceptible to being abused point blank. And truly, these are some of the deepest reasons in regard to our original emotional formative years that led us unconsciously into abusive situations in the first place. I can nearly feel the triggers of certain people going off, and I want you to listen on. And this is not because, as victim blaming advocates would argue, I'm saying we asked for it, but rather because the Thriver Orientation, which is my work, recognizes and deeply understands that the parenting we receive from our role models did not allow us to grow up healthily from our dependencies. Our childhoods did not sponsor our ability to be a confident and whole generative source of our own life, non-dependent on the reliance of specific others. Others who we are still assigning as parents unconsciously. Others who we are handing the power of our life to and then holding solely responsible when they don't do a healthy job of it. And if we have been on this trajectory because of having received unconscious parenting, which is incredibly common in a world of deficient emotional training and intelligence, we may have never realized we are, because it became our normal. The people who demand that taking any personal responsibility means you're being blamed for the abuse that happened to you will tell you these things. You are not to blame at all. It wasn't you. And the onus, blame, and responsibility lies with the abuser wholly and solely. These statements mean there was nothing about you that got you into that situation. It was random and senseless. And therefore, there is nothing about you to get you out, healed, and immune to it ever happening again. And the nature of your healing now solely lies on what does or doesn't happen in regard to the abuser in your life being held accountable. Now, here is a massive issue with this. After the initial relief of not being to blame and therefore being able to assign all blame to the abuser, who has been blaming you, of course, all along, you will find the relief does not continue and you will not be released from your abuse symptoms. I know this because I used to live it. I initially gobbled up the abuse forum and my psychologist statements, which were totally about the focus on how bad he was and how I was the victim. and my psychologist and the online abuse forums all told me how necessary it was for me to know that what he had said for years, "It's all your fault, Melanie," was not true because it was actually him all along. But why didn't the relief of being told the problems in our marriage, his insane behavior, and even the reasons he felt incensed enough to abuse me horribly were not my fault stop me obsessing about him every minute of every day, wanting to change and fix him, being terrorized about how I was going to rebuild my life, or breaking no contact constantly when that terror completely engulfed me? And yet, I was fully supported, being told constantly and adamantly by abuse recovery specialists that he, the unhealable narcissist, was to blame and I was a victim of abuse who had nothing to do with generating the abuse and who must get out and stay away. Surely these answers should mean I would be able to disconnect, be resolved, and get on with it. After all, doesn't the truth set us free? It sure does. And if we're not released, it's a sure sign we haven't reached it yet. In this model, I was nowhere near being free. And I consistently see this model fail to deliver people to relief almost always. Yes, I mean that, almost always. Rather than this start a process of healing for them, in stark contrast, I see them still mired in victimization, meaning they are hooked, obsessing about the narcissist and what happened, and still suffering intense abuse symptoms, just as I was. Is this considered normal? Is this what so-called recovery is supposed to look like? I adamantly declare no way. What I live and facilitate is universes apart from this level of so-called effectiveness, because the Thriver model of 100% radical responsibility works spectacularly virtually every time it is adopted. Okay, so listen on, and I hope that by being tuned into this radio show, you're going to understand why. So let's have a look at this section, which is personal responsibility is not blame. Here is the big clincher, the thing that changes the understanding of the Thriver model forever. The Thriver model of personal responsibility has zero to do with blame. And blame is the big thing that advocates scream out. By asking people to take personal responsibility, you are victim blaming. The Thriver model is not about blaming people. It's about empowering individuals to heal the aspects of themselves that have suffered abuse, so that they can evolve beyond the pain and never suffer abuse again. Our human beliefs about blame and responsibility have not helped matters. This is what Wikipedia has to say about victim blaming. Victim blaming occurs when the victim of a crime or any wrongful act is held entirely or partially responsible for the harm that befell them. The study of victimology seeks to mitigate the perception of victims as responsible. So now let's have a look at how the words blaming and responsible are intertwined, which is a common societal belief. The dictionary definition of blame is this: feel or declare that someone or something is responsible for a fault or wrong. So the example is, the inquiry blamed the train driver for the accident. The definition for responsibility is this: the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. The group has claimed responsibility for a string of murders. This is the interesting part, the synonyms for responsibility. The synonyms are blame, fault, guilt, culpability, blameworthiness, liability. So we can see from this that taking responsibility to be the healer and the generator of our own outcomes independent of others, also known as the Thriver model, can be interpreted as being blamed for what went wrong for us. Anti-victim blaming websites have a very limited surface level view of what blaming means. Statements said by victim blamers such as, "She provoked him." They both have big issues. She shouldn't have stayed with him after the warning signs, etc., etc., etc. The Thriver model has nothing to do with such blaming statements or simplistic, surface-level judgments that have nothing to do with how to access and generate true healing. The orientation of personal responsibility takes place at a much deeper, wider, and more profound level of truth. Okay, so now I want to really get down to the brutal base note of these blaming claims. Claims in relation to my work of the recognition that there is something within us that unconsciously led us into abuse, meaning the deeper levels of self-partnering possible that enables us to heal, up-level and graduate our previous emotional unconscious programs to much healthier and solid ones in order to get us out of the pain of it and the possibility of it ever happening again. In other words, change our own life by changing the only person we ever have the power to change, which is ourselves. The blaming angle truly is childish. Let me explain. And maybe such blaming would go something like this. Imagine this being said to a 45-year-old person who suffered a long-term relationship with a narcissist. Let's just imagine this would be something like blaming. You are such an idiot and totally useless for having unhealed wounds in your childhood that made you pick a narcissist and stay with him or her for 20 years. You did not leave when the mask fell. You endured, you clung on, you tried to change this person. You lost all of your resources. All of your ability to hold down a job, your health, your well-being, the respect of your children, and vital years of your life, and you are to blame because you have issues. Now really, please, who believes the Thriver model addresses people like that? Now let's look at the entire thrust of the Thriver Radical Personal Responsibility model. And this is the example of what is conveyed to the same 45-year-old individual over a period of time as they work with the Thriver model. What has happened to you is so painful, and what you're going through is incredibly traumatic. And that's validation. However, there is a deeper truth here and a reason why this is happening to you. And what that means is this is not just some random, senseless, powerless act of fate. The narcissist in your life is bringing you the evidence of your as yet unhealed wounds. There are unconscious, painful programs for your childhood which represent this person, which keep you hooked to this person and incite you emotionally to try to make them do it differently. What your subconscious is trying to do is rewrite your painful childhood. So what that means, those statements, is there are definitive reasons why this is happening to you. When you let go of fruitlessly and devastatingly trying to get this person to do it differently and go inside your own body instead to track, find, and heal your original wounds, you will no longer be hooked, affected, and trapped in the agony. You will, piece by piece, evolve beyond the pain and beyond the need or the desire for this person to do it differently or even be in your life at all. Also, your unhealed wounds will never need to get your attention via an abuser again because they will be gone. So what those statements mean is there is a real way to get out of the pain and never have to relive it again. You will also be freed of what has been holding you back in other areas of your life because after cleaning up your original wounds, you'll become a higher, truer, happier, more expanded version of yourself than you have ever experienced even before abuse. And what that means is there is the promise of a more incredible and expanded life than you have ever lived previously. Now here is the startling part. Victim blaming advocates state it is dangerous to suggest personal responsibility because it further damages victims. Really? Really? I take the stand, it saves people's lives and then grants them their true life. It saved mine literally and emotionally, and it has saved thousands upon thousands of other people's lives in this community, literally and emotionally as well. Every day, without fail, I receive emails and posts from people stating the relief that they now know there is something within them to heal, and thank goodness they can get the focus off the narcissist and onto and into themselves to actually do something about changing their life. Because before finding the information that this was possible, the victim model of zero personal responsibility was not helping them. These people feel relief even before they start doing work on themselves, because within themselves they now recognize there was a reason for this and there is a way out. These are people who do not want to accept the prognosis of being a victim indefinitely or for the rest of their life. They want what they went through to mean something and elevate them to something. They want what they went through to have a higher purpose. People who cite victim-blaming state by taking personal responsibility were saying the narcissist was not to blame and is not at fault, and they get off scot-free because it was all our fault. Please, this is so not true. It is anything but the truth. Our thriver statement of getting healed, up and out and away, and no longer feeding power to the narcissist is the most powerful declaration we could ever make. It states point blank, what you have done is not okay in my life, as is the power to take appropriate action against this person in custody and property battles, because we are no longer terrorized and regressing back to a fearful child emotional container within ourselves. When we are solid, adult, and anchored in our bodies without our original wounding, the narcissist comes apart because they can only operate in our life when they can use our wounds against us. That is when the narcissist is held accountable, and it never happens when we're not healed on the inner and not in our power. Another claim by victim advocates is this: victim blaming marginalizes the victim survivor and makes it harder for them to come forward and report the abuse. In other words, victims will be less likely to report the abuse if they feel blamed for it. This could be the case for a nasty, childish surface blame model, but certainly is not the case for a thriver model. In stark contrast, thrivers learn to love, honor, and respect themselves. Their boundary function repairs as a result of doing the work inside their bodies that allows them to release and uplevel the original childhood fears of abandonment, criticism, rejection, and punishment. The very fears that were threatening their sense of love, approval, security, and survival that kept them bonded to abusers rather than report, assert, and leave. Okay, so let's have a deeper look at the word blame. I really believe the big issue with enforcing victimization is with the word blame. It's a word metaphysically and on a quantum level which doesn't serve us healthily at all. The word responsibility empowers, the word blame disempowers. The reason the word blame is a false premise is because it implies people know what they are doing, have emotional control over what they are doing, and are purposefully doing wrong and should be shamed, held accountable, and punished accordingly. It does nothing to recognize people act out their lives emotionally in accordance to their own inner wounding and painful subconscious programs. Hurt people hurt people. And until their wounding is addressed by themselves as adults, they will continue to do so. Shaming and blaming people is the least likely way of making them take responsibility for their own healing. In stark contrast, it will only make them more hurt and defend and push back harder. What does work is when these people have nowhere to go but inwards to heal their own wounds. This only happens when other people stop handing them energy and attention and let them go. When abusers' lives, including the dramas of others that distract them from being themselves, can no longer go on as normal, that is when they would be most likely to recognize themselves as the generative source of their own life and go to the only place left to go inwards and attend to their inner wounds. This has never happened because people are blaming them. Look at the wars and fighting in our worlds on macro and micro levels to see the truth of what blame creates. I've never seen anyone mired in blame of others or themselves be in a thriver recovery ever. In fact, I know it's impossible. The energy of blame is completely shut off from the deeper truths regarding consciousness and unconsciousness. How does blaming others make anyone do it differently? Blame and shame are both dark, insidious energies that create more darkness and dysfunction. Look at the blame and shame the Catholic Church passed on sexually to people and what that created. It created people en masse acting totally in accordance with what they were being blamed and shamed for. As a healer who's worked with numerous clients in Ireland affected by generational sexual incestuous dysfunction, I can promise you there is no coincidence. Blaming and shaming yourself or anyone has never created healing, reform, and atonement. It has only ever created more of what the blame and shame is about. Have we ever felt better or healed by using blame and shame as emotions to move on with? No. Did we think blaming another extricated ourselves from the blame? We're kidding ourselves if we think it does. If you were to hook yourself up to the laboratory equipment that would register how your nervous system felt about blaming, you would be astounded to discover that physiologically and chemically, which means emotionally, your inner being knows no difference between you blaming another or blaming yourself. It is all the same dark, toxic emotions telling you firmly you're in wrong town when applying it. People who advocate victim blaming are blaming abusers to escape being blamed themselves, which I really do suspect is unhealed inner programs of the trauma of being blamed as children. And I know because I used to carry that stuff myself. And these people are swimming in blame regardless, and they are not healing. Every time we say, my life and world has been ripped apart by you and it was your fault and you are accountable for it, hand our power over. Why? Because we have to wait for that person to set us free. What if they don't? How do we heal if they don't? How do we forgive if they are to blame and we keep holding them accountable? Keeping in mind, forgiveness is not a gift to someone else, it's a gift to ourselves. And how do we release ourselves from the trauma that we believe is somebody else's responsibility to fix for us? How do we get closure when we are reliant on the narcissist to grant it to us? The answers are we don't, ever. And there you have all of the components of victimhood in a nutshell, with every single one of them organized around the notion of assigning blame. Okay, so let's have a look at believing what we've been told instead of what our inner truths are. Shouldn't our truth be what our emotional gauge, our God within, tells us, instead of what our outer world has programmed us to believe? Maybe, just maybe, we have accepted many truths that haven't been working for us and haven't allowed us to take our power back and heal ourselves, regardless of what other specific people are or aren't choosing to do, which is, of course, the definition of real personal freedom. Maybe the models of victims and perpetrators and blame and shame are antiquated models with very few true healing results. If we look around us, we have to admit the contemporary healing model from abuse is frightful. There are far too many people sick and alive who are merely attempting to battle symptoms and are reliant on systems such as psychiatry and medication to try to deal with their abuse symptoms because they are never actually healing and getting free from them. And as a result, these people are living gravely diminished lives, way beneath their ultimate potential or blamed on perpetrators, because these people are not doing the work in their bodies to up-level and release and relieve themselves of the trauma. And they believe that there is no need to do that. This is a no personal responsibility to take path, because they are the victim and all blame and responsibility lies with the perpetrator. These people point blank are stuck in the vicious cycles of trying to deal with abuse symptoms that will never be healed. What a wonderful way to feed the big pharma systems that our world is presently based on. Narcissistic systems that strip away personal power and the ability to be self-actualized and heal ourselves. Systems that keep people stuck in their pain and render people sick and alive and reliant on outside costly intervention in order to continually try to escape the pain. Have a look at this section. As a victim, powerlessness is always felt and abuse is always a possibility. Another way to keep people powerless is by keeping them stuck in the fearing of things outside of them as a result of not having found and activated their true power within themselves. If we are told it was not your fault, there was nothing about you that co-generated this, and all of your painful outcomes had nothing to do with you and everything to do with the abuser, then the abuse we suffered must have been random and we must be totally powerless in all of it. This also means there's nothing we can change about ourselves to release or relieve the abuse from the past, and there is nothing we can change about ourselves to stop the possibility of it happening again in the future. This makes us terrified that evil exists. We're susceptible to evil and we're powerless against it if it turns up again. Naturally, this makes us protect, close down, dim our radiance, and not go for life in the way a free, empowered, self-actualized person would. The way a thriver releases themselves in order to be in life. After suffering significant abuse, if we are not doing the work inside our body to release our original and accumulated traumas, the trauma is trapped inside us. Then it takes on a life of its own, compounded with the fear of not just trying to survive it, but of more trauma happening to us again. As a result, emotionally, we are tormented and battling depression and anxiety and a host of other nervous system disorders such as agoraphobia and complicated post-traumatic stress disorder. Because we are not connected to life organically in the ways that our soul ecology always intended, love, inspiration, freedom, and being a self-generative source of power, we are in emotional discord. In fact, the further we are away from our true self state, the more it hurts. To try to relieve the inner pain of this disconnection from our true self and the trauma of abuse and the fear of it happening again in the future, we will continue to try to relieve our inner pain through outer substitutes, such as medication to try to shut our symptoms up, or addictions, which is self-medicating, that grant temporary relief but create long-term dire additional issues. This is the perpetual self-defeating loop of trying to avoid self that was caused by the original false premise of zero personal responsibility, meaning there are no original traumas or faulty unconscious programming inside me that has kept me separated from self, trying to assign false substitutes to grant me my own wholeness, or unconsciously held me in difficult and painful situations that are not serving my highest being and greatest truth. Such is the unconsciousness of the victim model, which declares that any personal responsibility is victim blaming. So let's have a look at the power and safety of taking personal responsibility. In stark contrast, thrivers know that when they up-level and heal the aspects within them, their own unconscious programming, that made them susceptible to narcissists in the first place, even if they were born into a narcissistic family, that they will no longer be unconsciously handing power over. They know they will show up completely differently. They're able to lay boundaries and speak up, facing and having the necessary difficult conversations if required. Thrivers know they are developing themselves into the self-value to be authentic to their own truth and to be able to stand firm in and generate with life what they need and walk away if necessary in order to retain self-love and self-worth, because no longer are they assigning specific other adults as their source of love, approval, security, or survival. Not when they have firmly become that source to themselves as a result of growing up their wounded inner childhood parts to adult solid maturity. Thrivers also get to experience the up-leveling of their outer lives, which has expanded in ways they never previously had access to as a result of the transformations they have made on the inside. Thrivers start living on a life trajectory which bears no resemblance to their abusive past. Abusers have lost all pulling power and emotional hooks. They become benign to a thriver. And people and situations which represent wholeness, wholesomeness, and real support, abundance, and love start showing up instead. None of which would have been possible without taking the radical personal responsibility to meet and address the thriver's own inner subconscious programming and reprogram it. So there it is, my case in regard to why the thriver model has nothing to do with victim blaming and everything to do with empowering people beyond victimization and mere survival into true thriving. Now, I am really happy for any and every discussion on this topic to begin because it is a really hot topic. And as such, I look forward to responding to your comments and questions and a deeper conversation about this on the blog. And you can see this on the blog at blog.melanietoniaevans.com. It will be the last blog article. And please put your comments or your questions down in regard to this hot topic. And also too, if you really do believe that the Thriver model is something that is going to help you break free and get out of these programs and this life of abuse, I would love you to join me in my next Three Keys webinar group, which is just beginning, just kicking off. So it's a perfect time to be doing this. And you can come in and register into that free event and free 2.5 weeks of workshopping at www.melanietoniaevans.com/free webinar. And I'd love to see you in the group with myself and many other thrivers to help you. So that's it from me. Until next week, lots of love. Bye-bye.